Mr. Lawrence, Ms. Prime, members of the agency, members of government, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ted Huller. I'm from Buffalo, New York, and I'm here to represent a statewide organization. It's called the Sierra... My name is Ted Huller. I am from Buffalo, New York. I am here to represent a statewide organization. That organization is the Sierra Club. I'm very pleased to be here because I think it's the responsibility of those of us who care statewide and those of us who care locally to address the most major and most fundamental questions that confront us in the area of how we use our land. Before getting to the text of my remarks, I'd like to tell you a little bit about what the Sierra Club is. It's been referred to several times today. I'd like to briefly describe it to you. I understand it's also been referred to in your local newspapers. The Sierra Club is a national organization. However, the Sierra Club operates at the state level. We then band together into the national organization to deal with national issues, such as the Everglades, such as Grand Canyon, such as our great parklands in the west, such as the possibility of oil spills in the eastern seaboard, such as how are we going to get our electricity. At the state level, we're concerned with statewide questions. Without any doubt, the most significant statewide question for any state in this nation, but particularly for us in New York State, is the Adirondacks. Why is that so significant? Because the Adirondacks represents, the Adirondacks is the finest treasure, finest natural resource treasure we have in this state, and one of the very finest in the entire nation. Members of the Sierra Club in New York State are residents of the Adirondacks. They are landowners in the Adirondacks, and therefore they pay taxes here. Many Sierra Club members also use the Adirondack. We stay in the motels, we stay in the hotels, we go to the recreational areas, not just those off in the wilderness, but throughout the entirety of the park. So we use this land. Therefore, we have a personal interest in it. In addition, however, and I think far more importantly, we're concerned about the Adirondacks because of its immense statewide implications. As I said, the Adirondacks, we believe, is the finest natural resource treasure this state has got. Therefore, we have to be concerned about it because the Sierra Club nationwide has been in the forefront of trying to preserve those pieces of land we love from the despoliation that so often has occurred. It is a statewide issue. About 40% of the land within the Adirondack Park is state land. Monies, tax monies from outside the Adirondacks come back in the form of tax rebates on the forest preserve land. And that's true. At this point, I would like to digress. At this point, I would like to digress from the position of the statewide chapter and give a personal commentary. I have said for a long time, and I will continue to say to anyone who will listen, that I believe the importance of the Adirondacks to the state is so great that the state must be prepared and must immediately bring more monies into the Adirondacks, more direct monies in the form of assistance to local government, and in addition, and possibly more importantly, bringing in the kinds of services, the kinds of advice, the kinds of help that local government really does need to solve the problems that happen to it as various kinds of land uses occur. The Sierra Club, if legislation is brought forward by the Adirondack legislators and the other legislators of this state, you can be sure that we will be in Albany arguing the case as strongly as we possibly can to bring that money from Western New York, where I live, to bring money from New York City, where so many others live, back to the Adirondacks.
You want the I think we should.
I'd be happy to, I'm just waiting. I'd be happy to discuss any of these points at the end of the presentation. Thank you. We believe there are three things that characterize the Adirondacks. All of us know what they are. First is the dramatic open space that we have all around us. In fact, it is so immense that we, all of us, really don't understand what it is we've got. It's just too big to really comprehend. Secondly, and I think this is the most important point I want to make, secondly, there's a diversity of things that happen here. There are people here living on private land, and there are a diversity of uses of that land. Some of it's mining, some of it's agriculture, some of it's lumbering, some of it's residential, some of it's commercial. These two things, the human uses and the land itself, have formed a tradition. It's gone on for over 100 years. It's certainly gone on ever since the state declared that the Adirondack Park is a matter of state concern, and that's over 80 years ago. We in the Sierra Club believe that this mixture of present uses of the park must continue, because if it does not, the quality of the Adirondack Park for all who live here and all who come here on a temporary basis, whether they simply be visitors or own second homes here, the quality of the park will go down. Therefore, we believe the present use patterns, of the park must be maintained, and we will argue that case and lobby for it every way we possibly can. I'd like to state why I'm here today. There are three reasons. First of all, I have submitted just now the general position statement of the Sierra Club to the agency and the specific recommendations. We have studied this report exhaustively. Our members all across the state have, and it's a document that has been submitted. We trust that it will receive the attention that all the rest of your contributions have received. Secondly, I'm here to address some concerns that all of you have raised and that are concerned about. And thirdly, as I said at the outset, I think the Sierra Club has to be here in Saranac Lake, where people are most concerned. It's our obligation to discuss these matters as much as possible with you. Why do we support the plan? Let me say, first of all, we do support the overall intentions, goals, objectives, and policies of the plan. Why? Because we think the basis on which they were done is good. Secondly, we think it preserves the park, we think it preserves the diversity of uses, and we think it preserves the kinds of traditions that you have come to expect here in the park and that you want to continue. We support the plan because we believe that it does in fact protect the individual landowner far more than no planning would. Thirdly, we believe that local government is given a very proper and a very large role in the land use planning and the land use implementation of the private land of the Adirondack Park. Fourthly, we believe that the forest products industry, the year-round basis for the economy of the Adirondacks, is encouraged by this plan and is supported by this plan and will foster and grow even stronger under this plan. Fifthly, we believe that the plan at least recognizes that tax incentives for maintenance of open space are necessary. We do believe, however, that the plan should have given more attention to this in its provisions, but more significantly, we think that the question of taxation of land in the Adirondacks is of such overriding state concern, and obviously regional and local concern, that it ought to receive far more attention from your elected officials in Albany than it has to date. And I would certainly hope that the legislators would bring forward appropriate legislation, and the Fisher Tax Law Study Commission would soon get underway. That's been bottled up for over a year, and you people are suffering for that. Sixth, we believe that the plan is flexible. No plan solves the problems at the beginning. No plan ever solves them all at the end. But plans have to be flexible. We believe this one is. We have a number of specific recommendations which I will not go into. They go as follows. Some of them are as follows: that we are concerned about the intensity guidelines. A demand from the Chamber of Commerce of Saranac Lake talked about expanding the boundaries of Saranac Lake by 3 miles. We in the Sierra, 3 mile radius. We in the Sierra Club believe that there probably can be a very good argument made for increasing the intensities of use in those high intensive use areas. moderate and low intensity, and in the urban, and in the rural hamlet. You already have complete control in the urban hamlet, according to the plan. So we support the idea of increasing intensities in certain areas. To maintain open space quality, we in fact support a decrease in certain other areas. We believe that this plan very appropriately addresses the idea that certain kinds of projects have regional impact. And we believe that this, we know that this plan does not forbid any of these projects. A number of speakers today have said we can't do this and we can't do that under this plan. That's not true. This plan simply sets a level at which a project must be reviewed by the Adirondack Park Agency. We believe this plan at least partially addresses the problems of shorelines and the quality of shorelines. We believe that for the benefit of all of you who live here, not necessarily for us who don't live here and only visit, but those of you who live here, that those shoreline restrictions must be made far more severe. If they are not, we can almost guarantee that the water quality will go down and the water pollution will significantly increase. We've also put forward some different ideas about how shoreline intensity should be presented. We believe that strip development is the bane of the Adirondack Park. All of us suffer from it. We believe that the provisions that the plan contains are good. They should be retained and not altered. We believe there's a serious problem, however, with industrial areas. We agree that the agency should have power to place industrial areas wherever a legitimate argument for them can be made. We do think, however, there's one clause concerning commercial uses which is completely inappropriate and which we believe would ultimately work to the disadvantage of all of us in this room and all of us in this state and everyone who visits this area. It concerns commercial uses. We think they should be excised, taken out of that area, and that commercial uses ought to be justified on their own basis. We think there's plenty of need for commercial services and uses, but let's justify them on their own basis, not bring them in the side door through industrial use areas. We think that the plan should address the concept of height. The great majesty of the Adirondack Park is its height. When man's structures get in the way sometimes of those heights, the quality of an area goes down. We think that the plan also should include things like performance standards. There is no aspect of noise is not dealt with, of air quality, and of water quality. These are simple, very simple things to put in. We're sure it can be done very easily. But there seem to be, to us, at least three very major issues. The first concerns the powers that the agency has and the powers that local governments have between the time the plan is adopted and January 1st, 1976. We think plans ought to be consistent. We think you want them to be consistent. On pages 59 and 60 of this plan, and one sentence on page 50, it refers to what will happen between the time your local government adopts an acceptable land use plan and the time the plan is adopted. We think that those pages ought to be modified so this plan in fact says that all development activities in the park must be consistent with the guidelines and policies of the plan. We think that only makes sense. More importantly than that, even, is the whole question that so many of you have been concerned about here. That's the question of how do you interact with the agency? That is the question in government operation today. How do each of us interact with government? We believe that the plan's provisions should be expanded so the whole concept of public hearings is placed firmly in the plan so that each of you, so that the concept of notices of projects is put in. That is, so that each of you, by reading your local newspapers, will know what projects are coming before the agency because you're going to have concerns. That is presently not in the plan. It's a very simple thing to write in. We would urge the agency would do it. Thirdly, we think that those of you who, when you receive a notice of a project and say, this isn't quite right, we think you ought to have the opportunity of talking to your friends, associates, fellow landowners, in and outside the Adirondacks, that you ought to have an opportunity of signing a petition saying, look, this is of such interest to us that we want a public hearing held. That's not in the plan. We think it should be. Finally, we think the plan ought to tell, at least in some kind of language, who the interested parties are. Are they only the person who has land on next to the proposed project, Only the people who live on the road? Are they only the people across the state? Who are the interested parties? The plan should address that question. Again, it's a simple question. We think by putting that in, and it can easily be done, will dramatically help the quality of discussion of these kinds of things in the Adirondacks, and in fact, be the only safeguard that we ultimately have for any kind of planning process. Lastly, the issue of delay. Virtually every speaker here today has talked about delay. We think this is inadvisable. First of all, any plan is flexible. Any plan never stops. This plan has provision after provision after provision in it for amendment, opportunity for people of local government to participate. And we've heard how this agency is going to interact with local government. This plan will be continuously revised. It has to be. The provisions of the plan that you have in front of you say so. In addition, the agency is certainly going to build in additional procedures, one of which I will mention later. Why does it have to be put in this year? Development pressure for second homes is increasing dramatically in this country. What happens when second homes come in? There's sprawl. Communities are put all over the hillside. Soil runs down the hillside. It muddies the streams, it dirties the lakes, it pollutes the water. In addition, planned communities will avoid those problems, but more importantly, they will provide for the planning of those developments so the cost to the present landowners is not excessive. What kinds of jobs come from second home communities? No one really knows the answer to this. One thing that's very clear is that the expectation for full-time, year-round jobs, and that's really the kind we're concerned about, full-time, year-round jobs isn't very high. We don't get very many of those kinds of jobs out of it. People are only here for a short period of time. What are the shopkeepers going to do when they're not here? So jobs is really a problem for in development when we have development pressure. We cannot guarantee through increased development that we in fact are going to have the year-round jobs. Taxes will very likely go up, at least in the short run, if not in the long run, because all kinds of services have to be provided. The sewers, the roads, and all the rest. I've talked about the various kinds of pollution. They will increase without very good planning. In addition, for many of the areas in the Adirondacks, poorly planned communities that are hastily put up to beat some kind of under-the-wire deadline will probably, very likely, decrease the scenic value of the area. As mentioned last night, once this plan gets into the legislature, it's going to be subject to the kinds of pressures that none of us in this room can control, because those pressures are never very clear. Those pressures are in the hands of the lobbyists. They are not in the hands of local government. Those pressures are in the hands of those people who can pay to have people full-time in Albany lobbying to trade this vote for that vote. I'm sorry, but that's really the way it is. And I don't think any of us in this room want that. We want those decisions to be made here in the Adirondacks and out in the open where all of us can find them. Another reason for adopting a plan this year is, in fact, that the level of interest of all of us is very high. It is not possible to sustain high level of interest of any project for a very long period of time. We have to do something when the interest is high. And I would submit that this is the year to do it. We can amend plans as we go on. Again, let me mention flexibility. The plans are always flexible. And then let me come to a proposal that I would personally like to make. One, that the plan be approved, that an acceptable plan be adopted by the agency, that legislation be submitted to the legislature and adopted by the legislature this year. That this not be an interim plan of any kind. All plans are interim because they're constantly changed. But rather, that this legislation say, language to the effect, that there be a certain kind of hearing process go on approximately 9 to 12 months from now. This is a formal hearing process such as we have, and that there be a report of the activities of the agency and the activities of local government in the Adirondacks submitted to the legislature when it meets in 1974. It seems to me that this is what we need a plan. We also need an opportunity of reviewing that plan, and that review must be out into the open. That's been the great beauty of this whole process. It has, in fact, been out into the open. So what I've tried to do is summarize a little bit for you what the Sierra Club is all about, try to summarize for you what some of our concerns are, what we think some of your concerns are. We've tried to address some of these. Thank you very much.